You're listening to Your Financial Choices on WDIY Allentown. Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics, and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. To ensure compliance with requirements imposed by the IRS, we inform you that any U.S. federal tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to or to be used for the purpose of avoiding penalties under the Internal Revenue Code or promoting, marketing, or recommending to another party any transaction or matter addressed herein. This show is for educational purposes only. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and an AEP, Accredited Estate Planner. Today is July 17th, 2013. Just a second. I realized I didn't pull up the markets today, so I'll try to do that while I'm saying hello. They were up. Last week, the show was on catching up on retirement accounts, catching up on new laws, catching up on credit cards and family conversations. We rely on our families for so many things and quite often on some of the biggest responsibilities we have, such as the caretaking of our children and health decisions, managing our estates. Have you struggled with deciding who you're going to name as your executor or the guardian of your children? Or how about the trustee of a trust that is established for your children? How are you going to do that? We're going to talk about that. Who's going to help make those life and death decisions for you when you're in the hospital? We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judianna's in the studio. She will answer your calls, take down your information, ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. You can talk live with me or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. If it's off air, just give your question to Judy Ann and she'll bring it in to me. The number to call in is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com. Sometimes questions are a little bit sensitive or you want to remain private. You can do that through yourfinancialchoices.com, and I'll respond to those when I can. Just to let you know, the markets were up today. The Dow closed at 15,470, the S&P at 1680, and the NASDAQ at 3610. So quite big numbers for us from, you know, several months ago. So that's all good. I hope you're able to listen tonight. It's quite hot outside. I could hardly breathe when I got in my car tonight. So I hope you're all home in your air conditioning and listening very comfortably. So tonight we are going to talk about planning for changes with your family, what those conversations sound like. Again, I'm not going to call it estate planning. I'm not going to call it tax planning. I'm not going to call it retirement planning or long-term planning. Long-term care planning. I'm going to call it planning to get your act together, because really planning for contingencies in your life aren't about any one of those things, but a combination of those things. I'm always talking about how each piece of our financial life affects another part. So let's not look at our financial lives in sections. We're going to look at how it all works together. So how do we have the conversations we need to have so that we can move from planning for action to actually making action? Planning isn't anything until you put it into action. So do you want to be empowered? Do you want to make some decisions about your life? Then kick back and listen for the next 50 minutes, 55 minutes or so. Call in with questions. I love questions. It helps me a lot, especially since I'm still struggling with my cold. Love questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and we'll take calls live or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. So let's start talking about how we're going to have these conversations with our family, what we need to think about, Before we have the conversations, I want to try to set the platform to make it comfortable for people so they know kind of, you know, how to think these things through, because so often it's very overwhelming, and it's that feeling of overwhelmingness that keeps us from moving forward. So let's break it down. So when we want to talk about, you know, planning for our lives, we want to talk about who, what, where, when, and how. Who, what, where, when, and how. Who, being you, your family, your friends, charities, advisors. What do you have that would need to be managed by someone? It could be your assets. That's typically what we think about. It could be your, you know, livelihood too, your person. When might this event happen that we want to plan for, whether it's a disability, incapacity, or death? How do we want our actions carried out? Oh, and I missed where, who, what, when, where. Where are our assets? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to be that we need to have planning for? So the last one was how. How do we want our actions carried out? So I think if we can answer the who, what, where, when, it's much easier to get to the how. So then, even within that realm, we want to talk about what is the easiest thing to do. I love trying to take care of easy things first. Sometimes that might not always be, you know, the most efficient, but it makes you feel like you've moved forward. It gives you a little bit of excitement. You have more energy. So you want to start with things that are, you know, a little bit easier for you. So we're going to start with talking about what. But first, I had a call come in off air. Thank you, Anne, for calling in. Anne from Easton. She asked, is it better to have a financial advisor on commission or fee-based, which is an annual fee? And then she also said maybe versus a percent. What Anne is talking about is financial advisors who are paid for giving investment advice to clients have a number of ways that they can be paid for that investment advice. And one way, the traditional way, I think for, you know, many, many years when and people have this in their mind, when you think about your broker, you say, oh, I'm going to call my broker. So that traditional platform of using a broker or a brokerage firm is more commission-based. Commission being that the financial advisor, when they recommend products to you, products being mutual funds or stocks, bonds, they take a commission on whatever it might be that they've recommended to you when you buy or sell. So there would be maybe a dollar or like a share. It's called 12B1 fee, where you are getting loads. This is some of the lingo around that. Loads, where the fund company actually pays the advisor. Or if you're buying like a stock, they might charge a commission. So a commission could be a dollar amount. If you, you know, bought something for, you know, $20,000, there might be, and I'm making this up because I have no idea, there might be a commission of like $250. And then that would be it. If you have a mutual fund that a broker recommends that you buy and it's a C share, there's a load to that, and a C share typically pays 1% to the investment advisor ongoing as long as you have that fund. Different share classes pay different loads to the advisor. You don't see those fees always. The loaded funds, you're not going to see the fees going to the advisor. It's all disclosed in the prospectus. Commissions you will see on the trade confirmation. So it's not always as transparent. What Anne is asking about is fee-based is where an advisor gets paid a percentage of the assets that they're managing. So if an advisor is managing a $100,000 account and they charge 1%, 1% of $100,000 is $1,000. And typically that fee will come out of that account, or they'll send you an invoice, and it could be monthly or it could be quarterly, but the percent is based on the whole year. So, Anne, when you ask, is it better? The typical answer, and the answer should be, it depends. It depends on what you're expecting from your advisor. It depends on what kind of investments you have and what's going to make the most sense for your portfolio, your risk tolerance, etc. So, Anne, what I suggest is when you go to talk to an advisor, you ask them how they get paid, or you do some research ahead of time. If you're working with a fee-based advisor, that's someone who's working for a registered investment advisory firm, an RIA firm, and they will have a disclosure called a Form ADV, and they will disclose their fees in that ADV, and you could look it up that way. If they are not an RIA firm and they are a brokerage firm, it will depend on what kinds of positions you're going to be buying and selling in your account, and you'll want to get a prospectus on mutual funds that they're using, or ask the advisor what kind of commissions they charge on, you know, individual holdings such as stocks or bonds. Okay. Anne, thank you for calling. I appreciate it. Folks, it's past our break time. I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a second.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. Any condition is accepted. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. Anne had just called and had asked a question about using commission-based advisors or fee-based. Let me add further, Anne, that a fee-based advisor, you also want to look in that ADV or in their asset management agreement to ask what they're doing. A broker is maybe more transactional and they're acting on your direction, or they may be calling you and saying, I recommend this. Asset management may be discretion. The advisor may have discretion, and it may be maybe more actively managed, where they're watching, you know, every day, and they may not need your input or not. It depends. Usually you kind of come up with some parameters when you first start working together. So a fee-based advisor with discretion may be able to react more quickly, may or may not. I'm not having an opinion on that. I've got to be careful what I'm saying, but you want to explore all that with whomever you speak with. So there are some, you know, advantages to that as well. All right. Tonight we are talking about, what do I say, getting your life together. That is doing your planning for estate planning, I didn't want to say, tax planning, I didn't want to say, long-term care planning. What I want to call it is just making sure you're doing your life planning and trying to give you some guidelines and parameters for that. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And you can call and ask questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. So we are talking about the who, what, where, when, and how of getting your act together. And I had mentioned the who, what, when, where, where your assets are, how do we want our actions carried out. So to knock off a couple of these very quickly, let's talk about the what first, because I think what is fairly straightforward. You start with the easiest one. You'll feel like you've made progress. So the what is basically taking an inventory of your assets, because what do you need someone to help you with if some if, you know, you become incapacitated or disabled or you die. So what are you going to need help with managing, you know, your house, your bank account, your brokerage account, your retirement account? So we talk about taking an inventory. I've talked about that in prior shows. I'm not going to beat that to death tonight. The website, wdiy.org, has a podcast from the prior shows on there. You can go look for that if you're interested in listening to it. It's called Your Personal Balance Sheet, and that aired May 3rd. So that talks about taking that inventory. So when you see the what, it spurs the feeling that you may have something at stake here. And if you don't take care of it, you might lose it, or someone else will take care of it. And, you know, if anybody's like me, slightly control freaks, you may not want someone else taking care of your stuff. So the only way you are going to have control is to get off your stuff and start putting a plan in action. So do that inventory, see what's at stake, see what you have, and if it's worth, you know, doing good planning and taking care of things. So we've knocked off the what. We've done our list. We have our inventory. We know what assets we have. When? That's the next easiest or hardest, depending on how you look at things in the when. So if you assume, when do I have to plan for these things that might happen? When might they happen? Well, if when is tomorrow, like I grew up with, tomorrow, you know, we could be dead. When is tomorrow? It would prompt you to work faster on your action, won't it? If you think the when is never going to happen to you, then you may never put a plan in action. If you keep thinking, oh, you can put it off, you've got time, well, that's certainly not going to be a big enough goal for you to sit down and get down and dirty and do your business. So there are different statistics out there as to what percent of Americans have a current will or power of attorney. And a recent article I looked at for this show from the National Association of Estate Planners and Counsels website, it was written by a John Scroggin. He mentioned that an AARP study found that only 17% of Americans over age 50 have a current will or power of attorney. That is not a very big number. Now, listen carefully what I said. 17% of Americans over age 50 have a current will or power of attorney. You might have a will or a power of attorney. They might not be current. So the ARP study said that only 17% have a current will. Another statistic referenced was that 50 to 70% of Americans either have no estate planning documents or have out-of-date documents. So either statistics, there's a lot of people walking around without documents. So the when about putting the proper document in place might be more appreciated if we talk about the when some other things can happen. When can these horrible things we're talking about happen? Well, we never know when. You've heard about Cory Monteith, the actor from Glee. Sad story. 31 years old. Did you think he thought that was going to happen? I don't think so. How about those folks in the Boston Marathon? Or what about the folks in nursing homes? Do any of us think that this is going to happen to us, that we're going to get old, for Pete's sakes? I'm in complete denial on a daily basis. So, you know, denial works a lot. But, you know, if you want to have that control, I mentioned earlier that you got to start doing some planning. So we never think anything's going to happen to us. You know, my father had a stroke at age 54. Who would have thought that? My mom kind of had to take over. Who expects to get cancer? And cancer doesn't always go a good way. A debilitating disease or accident can happen at any age. So when do you plan to die? When do you plan to have an accident? When do you plan to have a disease? You don't. That's why your when has to be now. If you have questions this evening, not to sound so morbid, we can lighten this up a little bit. If you have questions, give us a call, 610-758-8810. We will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, listener-supported community public radio. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 94 degrees under fair skies. Tonight, clear, lows around 72. Thursday, isolated thunderstorms, lows around 73. And Friday, scattered thunderstorms with highs around 95 degrees. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back. Folks, if you have questions tonight, love to hear from you. The phone number is 610-758-8810. I'm a friendly person. Nice. Happy to talk to anybody. Hopefully you have good questions. But don't be shy. You can talk live on air or just call and give your question to Judy Ann, and we'll do the best we can to answer them with the information that we've been given. Tonight we are talking about the who, what, where, when, and how of planning for those events that we can't always predict, which are, you know, disability, incapacity, death. So what kinds of things do we have to plan for? That's what we're talking about tonight, to help you move into action, because I hate these statistics saying that so many people don't have wills. And if you are someone who's listening, just run over to the refrigerator right now and use one of those magnets and put up a big note on the refrigerator. Do planning now. There's lots of attorneys out there, especially in the Lehigh Valley, a great group of attorneys. And I'm a member of the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. They have a website, Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. You can Google that. Lots of attorneys who are out there ready and willing to help people get their documents in order, and you should not be afraid of it. So we knocked off the what and the when. The what is take that inventory of your assets. The when is planning for an event to happen. Just assume it's going to happen tomorrow. And where is a fairly easy one. I think we could knock off our list as well. And the where is, where are your assets? Because that makes a difference in how you plan. Where do you live? What state do you live in? Because if you live in Pennsylvania, one set of rules. If you live in New Jersey, another set of rules. New York, another. Florida, another. So you really need to have an understanding of where you're residing now and what are the estate in-state inheritance tax rules that apply to you in the state that you live in now. What rules apply in the state where you have assets, such as real estate or businesses? It doesn't, like if you live in Pennsylvania and you have a bank account in New York, and you're a resident of Pennsylvania, it doesn't mean your bank account, because it's in New York, it's going to be taxable in New York. That would just be in Pennsylvania. But you want to sort through these assets that you might have different places with your attorney when you're doing your planning, because you don't also want to make any assumptions. So if you have like a shore house in Jersey and you live in Pennsylvania, there's implications to that that really need to be addressed. You might have rental property. You might have inherited something from a parent or a relative, a rental property in another state, perhaps. You need to make sure you understand the estate inheritance tax implications of wherever those assets might be, where you live or where you may end up living. Because if you, for example, I say, you know, let's plan as if we're going to be gone tomorrow, but we know we're a Pennsylvania resident today, but maybe your retirement plan is you're going to move to Florida in 3 years. Well, that is certainly something you want to address in your planning, because if an attorney can draft documents in such a way that gives you flexibility that if you move, you will still have good estate planning documents in order, or have documents that are going to be flexible enough for you, You want to make sure your attorney knows that so that you can plan or be aware. You know, maybe there's a certain state that if you knew the rules, you wouldn't want to go there, you know? So, and you might even factor in income tax in that decision as well. And looking at your assets, once you understand your what, and you see that maybe you have $1 million, you know, IRA, maybe you don't want to move to Ohio. I don't know. I wouldn't. I had a client who did, and it's taxing, quite taxing. Anyway, so you want to talk about the where your assets are, where do you live now, where do you think you'll end up living, maybe even where are your beneficiaries, because that could come into play in your planning as well. If your beneficiaries or your family members are all over the country and something happens to you, if you were going to pass property onto them that maybe you own locally, like maybe you have a farm or that beach house and or a house in the Poconos, and you were thinking, oh, I'd love to give that to my beneficiary. Well, if your beneficiary lives in Arizona or California, they may not really want it. So when we look at the where, it's not just where your assets are, where you want to live, but maybe where your beneficiaries are too, because does it still make sense in your estate plan to assume they're going to want that property? Maybe you really need to do some soul searching there and then base what you know now of your what and your who and your where, you know, start having conversations with those family members, you know, to realistically understand if something you're hanging on to for them, they're not going to want. Well, shoot, maybe you ought to just sell it and then, you know, go travel around the world and spend that money that you get from the sale of something. So it's really important to kind of not make assumptions in your planning that, you know, little Bobby and little Susie are going to want that, you know, house that you had or that, you know, painting that you love so much. You know, maybe you could sell it and get some money for it. So we've talked about the what, the when, and the where. And a big one coming up is the who. So we're going to talk about the who. If you guys have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So let me set the stage for the who. Last week, I mentioned that I was on vacation, and we got together with a lot of family on vacation. My husband and I are both close with our families. We both have big families. We are very, very lucky. So we rely on our families for support and everyday decisions. So I'm on the phone with a family member, any one of a number of family members out every day. We support our families in various ways, emotionally, financially, friendship, lots of different ways. Love the family. So when we talk about the who of planning, we need to put faces to that, don't we? We have to think beyond just ourselves. Because so often we think, you know, oh, I need to take care of that. I need to maybe go see an attorney about doing some estate planning documents. But if you don't sit and think through all of those people around you that could be affected by something happening to you, then you're doing a disservice to them. So we want to put faces to all of the who's, thinking beyond ourselves. If you're single, you might think, you know, you have no one who relies on you. So you might not be as motivated to do something. But what about if something happens to you? They may not be relying on you, but what if you have to rely on them? What if you have to rely on a family member to help you with, you know, if something were to happen, if you were to become incapacitated or, you know, debilitated somehow? You may need someone to kind of step in and help you with some decisions or some caregiving. So you really want to make sure that you're doing the planning, you know, for yourself, even if you're single and you think that no one is relying on you. So who is the first person that you would ask for help? So whoever that is that comes to mind, it may not be a family member. It may be a friend. It may be, you know, a trusted advisor, might be a distant relative. So you want to think about that. If you haven't had the conversation with that person or those people, now is the time. You want to make sure that they will be there for you. Will they be able to help you? And, you know, you might find out that they are relying on you to help them as well. So we are going to continue our conversation on the WHO. Let me give the phone number again. And when I come back, I'll answer a question that just came in. It's because we're right at the break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk and traditional music is a crazy quilt of colors and textures. In the tradition traces its many patterns and designs. Music handed down from generation to generation. In the tradition, Wednesday evening at 7 on WDIY FM Lehigh Valley Community Public Radio.
And welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We are talking about the who, what, where, when, and how of planning. And we're going to lump it all together. We had a question come in off air before we went on the break. We had Lois from Easton call in, and she asked if I could suggest a website to find information about the most tax-friendly states when people are looking at retirement. And Lois, I have one. I use at work all the time. It's a favorite, so I actually don't know it off the top of my head, but I quickly have just Googled it on my smartphone. My phone is so smart. I love it. Makes me smart. And I think it's the one. It's still loading, unfortunately, probably because I'm in the studio. But there is a website. I believe this is the one I use, and it's called retirementliving.com. Retirementliving.com. And what's nice about that is it compares state taxes nationwide. So you can choose whichever state it is, and it has everything. It's really, really, I love it. It talks about sales tax. It talks about income tax. It talks about gas tax, cigarette tax. It talks about all different kinds of taxes that we don't always think about. It talks about, estate tax, inheritance tax, and I think cost of living. There is a lot of information there, but I do think it is the retirementliving.com, and you can click on the state that you're interested in and get lots of good, valuable information. So I hope that helps you, Lois. Thank you for calling. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call and talk live on air or off air, whatever you're comfortable with. 610-758-8810. We're talking about the who, what, where, when, and how. I'm talking about planning. Want to mention again the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. There is a website for them, and there is lots of information about attorneys and advisors that are part of the council that do planning. It could be insurance, it could be financial planners, lots of attorneys, accountants, financial planners, a varied amount of advisors. I don't want to exclude anyone, but that is the Estate Planning Council of the Lehigh Valley. And I will try to look up the exact website, and I should know that, and I apologize. It's because I have all these links automatically that I don't always have to put them to memory. So we are talking about the who, what, where, when, and how. We were talking about the who, and just because you're single and think that no one relies on you doesn't mean that you don't have to consider the who in your planning as well. If you're married, you have children, you might have minor children, who will be their guardian? This is really big. It's probably one of the biggest decisions you have to make. Who will be the guardian if something happens to you and your spouse? It really is something that you need to think through. When you consider the who, it might include geographical locations. Maybe your favorite sister, who's just awesome, lives on the West Coast and the rest of the family's all on the East Coast. Well, while you might want your child to be with your awesome sister, all the cousins might be here and the grandparents. So that might affect who you would want to choose as the guardian of your children. Or maybe you don't have a big estate to leave the child and you need to find someone who actually is financially stable that can handle the caretaking of the children. So that might come into your decision. We have a caller who's on the phone. It sounds like we have Jack. Jack on line one. Jack, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, I wanted to find out about costs involved and if there's any avenues for, you know, whether it's based on estate size or whether there's any avenues for, like, veterans or retirees or that type of stuff. Or just cost overall, I guess.
Cost for planning or cost for documents? Or
cost for planning.
Okay. I think it could go in a couple stages. It depends on how you do your planning. One of the things I like to recommend to folks is to go through all of these questions I'm kind of laying out in the show first, the who, what, where, when, and how. If you kind of think all of that through and have a game plan and an organized game plan, then you have a couple avenues to choose from, which is what I'm going to get to further down, more who's, and the who being who are your advisors to help you kind of put it all together. But I think that if you as the individual or you and if you have a spouse, sit down and kind of go through all of the details as much as you can first, you're going to save yourself cost by not having to reiterate everything with an attorney or a financial advisor. When you're working with an attorney and a financial advisor, it may be hourly. So you want to ask them what their hourly fee is and how many hours they anticipate that the planning is going to be. And again, part of that is going to be based on how organized you were to begin with. So there is an inventory sheet I recommend to people. It's like a balance sheet where you kind of, you know, write it down all the assets, but then also going through those extra steps of saying, who is it really that you want to take care of things? What I see happening, Jack, is when someone sits down with their planner or their attorney, and the planner or the attorney is going to ask this question, they're going to say, well, who do you want to be your executor? And then you sit and mull it over in front of them for 15 minutes. Tick tock, tick tock, you're paying for that. Now, what I prefer is someone to come in and say, and I say, well, who do you plan to have for your executor? And you say, I was going to have my brother, George. And I say, do you trust George? No, he's a scoundrel, but he's the only one. Well, then that would initiate a whole new conversation with your planner or your attorney where we'd say, well, if he's a scoundrel, we're not going to recommend you use George. Have you considered XYZ? So you want to come in with at least something to discuss. So that's how you can watch your costs. Costs range for, you know, hourly, it could probably be $200 an hour to $500 an hour, depending on if someone's charging you hourly. There might be attorneys or planners who do it based on a plan. A plan could be, you know, $1,500 to $5,000, depending on what you have. So you're going to want to ask those questions, but I seriously recommend anybody try to organize themselves first and think through all of these questions before you go see anyone so that you're not wasting your time, their time, and getting charged for, you know, mulling things through in front of people. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, thank you. And you also had mentioned that a lot of people have documents that are out of date. Do these expire, or do you just mean that they're not current as to the wishes of the person leaving the will? Or
right.
Or,
sometimes yeah. It's also current law. For example, if someone came to us, you know, that had a will from 1970, it could be a valid will with, you know, that might not be a problem at all, but maybe there's no witnesses on that will. Well, if there's no witnesses, now, you know, Register of Wills, courts, they might require that that will would have been witnessed. So the executor or the personal representative named in that will may have to run around and find someone who could validate that the person whose will it is actually signed it and knows those signatures. So It's called an oath of subscribing witness. If you can find the original witnesses, or if there weren't witnesses, you got to go find something. Or if those witnesses weren't notarized, I meant you have to go get an oath of subscribing witness. So it could be out of date for that, which could just throw wrenches in, the administration afterwards. Also, as you said, it might not be current wishes. Sometimes it'll say, I name my trustee of the trust for my kids to be, First National Bank. Well, is there even a First National Bank anymore? I mean, so many banks have changed names like 10 different times. So sometimes you want to get that stuff updated. And sometimes kids are no longer minors. They're now adults. They may be married. They may have grandchildren. You want to make sure your documents account for all of that as well. You did mention estate size. As far as costs go, right now we're talking about planning and planning cost. Sometimes you'll go to an attorney as well who will do like the whole package, like a will, powers of attorney, health directives, living will, all of that. And they might charge a flat fee for that because they're used to doing them. So keep that in mind too. But that might not be the planning. That might just be the documents. So you'd want to know if, kind of planning it out is included in that fee. So they might say $1,500 for the whole kit and caboodle. Well, that could be, that could be good. So, you mentioned veterans. I don't know if what you were referring to, if some firms or advisors or attorneys give discounts to veterans. I don't know if that's what you meant, but if you have more complicated circumstances, like maybe you were a veteran and you might have veteran benefits available, that could add another level of complexity to the planning and the documents. And that would probably also incur additional cost as well. So just be aware going in, just ask questions. I think it's really good to go with your eyes open and again, go in with as much information as you can already thought through before you go in. Okay?
Okay, great.
All right, thank you, Jack. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices. We have plenty of time for questions still. I really love when listeners call in. It helps me out a lot, and it's good to know what kind of questions come up from the topics that we discuss. If you ever have questions that are off topic, you're welcome to call in too, and I will do the best I can to answer them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. So before Jack had called, we were talking a little bit about further figuring out who the who's are. When we talked about minor children, about who would be the guardian, you want to consider geographical location, financial means, maybe religious beliefs, stability. If you have a brother who's married to, a crazy, woman, maybe that's not stable. I don't know. So maybe you don't want your children in that environment. So it also might make a difference if you're related to them or not. I had friends who asked my husband and I to be the guardian of their children, and they had three siblings, and they asked us to be guardians in the event anything were to happen to them. They are adult children now, so we don't have to worry about that, but I would have loved to have had their children. I love these people. They're my, great friends, but I thought it was interesting that they would choose us over their own family members. So in that circumstances, it is critical that you have good estate planning documents, because you don't want, grandma to come in and sue you for custody and have a custody battle on your hands when, your best friends wanted you to, raise their children. So you want to make sure that you have worked through all of those who's involved and what you might want to avoid by having good documents. Same applies for your executor or trustee or your power of attorney. You want to make sure that you've thought through all of the ramifications of who you might pick. The person who will be the guardian of your minor children is not necessarily the same person you would want to be your executor or the trustee of a trust for those children. Maybe the person is great with kids, but not so great with money. So you could actually pick a different trustee from The Guardian. So you might not realize that. You have a lot of flexibility and a lot of control. Back to that control I like so much. You have a lot of control while you're alive and healthy and mental capacity. So working with attorneys, they can write up some really good documents that will help you carry out your wishes when you no longer can. We are going to take a quick break. And when I come back, I'm going to answer the question that just came in off air. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, where definitely it's you, your source for local news and public affairs, NPR. And music diversity. Folks, the time now is 6:45 p.m. Now back to our program.
Thank you, Jeff. We had a call that came through that we missed. So if you would like to call back, we would be happy to try again. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And a caller called in with a suggestion, and I love it. And we didn't get their name, and I would have loved to have their name because this is great. The person asked, is it wise to do a fire drill with financial emergencies? For example, scenario of one of us passing away. What do we do first, and where do we find documents? I love this. I think I'm going to play this game at home because this would be funny because my kids know where stuff is, but it's interesting because I'm sure it's not as apparent as we think. I just made that statement. Oh, my kids know where things are. They know where I file everything. But it's interesting. I think this would be really something that could be quite fun. I probably with your more adult children that I would do that with, but I think it's a great idea. Do a fire drill with financial emergencies. So call your kids and say, okay, fire drill. Sorry, the reason I'm laughing is because when I was a kid, my little brother and I, we were the last two of six kids. We used to get sent to bed at 8:30 at night. You know, it'd be light outside and we'd be in bed and all the other kids would be outside playing. And we would get sent to bed at 8:30 and we never went to sleep. I am a late night person, have been my whole life. And so we used to do fire drills in case my dad would come upstairs and get us, and he'd get us too. So we'd say fire drill, and we'd practice running in case, you know, and fake sleeping in case dad came up. So great idea, caller who called off air. Love it. Do a fire drill with your financial emergencies to see if your children, your adults, adult children, loved ones, brother, sister, whoever it is that you think knows about your financial situation, to see if they really do know where they would find your documents and all of your information. We have a caller on line one. We have Mark in Bethlehem. Mark, hi, how are you?
Hi.
How can I help you?
My question is, my father is going to retire this year in a few months, actually, in September. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of at the start of this whole process. Mm-hmm. So is there more to the, I want specific details about like the how. Is there more to it than just collect up the documents and go find a lawyer, or is there anything that we can do on our own besides that to kind of get the ball rolling or get some documents in even on our own?
Right. Some people try to do things themselves. I think it complicates it more. A lot of people think they're going to save money by doing it themselves, and there are, you know, different programs available online. Susie Orman mm-hmm. has packages. I've seen some of that. It's not always relevant exactly to your state how, you know, a local attorney might write it. Local attorneys sometimes know local law a little bit better and the ramifications of it. As far as the how goes, when I think part of the how, and I was saving the how till the end, which is perfect for you to call right now, because I think if you go through the who, what, where, when, you get to the how a lot faster and a lot more efficient and better. So if you, as I don't know if you had heard, Jack had called earlier, I think it was, where I had said, if you take the time to sit down and identify this and have those conversations. So, Mark, you're talking about your dad retiring soon, sitting down and having these conversations, because we never know when dementia is going to set in. We never know when something's going to happen. And we say, okay, what are we dealing with? That's where you take the inventory. Who, Dad? Who do you want to be in charge? Because you, Mark, might not be the one they want in charge. Maybe they want Sister Susie. Well, are you going to have a problem with that? Is Sister Susie going to have a problem with it? Do Sister Susie and Mark not get along? So you kind of want to go through those conversations and say, you know, maybe it makes sense. Maybe Mom wants Mark and Dad wants Susie. So you definitely want to work through those things. For example, my family, 6 kids all over the country. A younger brother lives in Michigan. My oldest brother lives in Pennsylvania. Mom says oldest brother is the executor. I said, Mom, does that really make sense? Oldest brother in Pennsylvania isn't going to be able to take care of your, you know, estate. Let's get brother in Michigan. So we said, okay, we'll do co-executors. So when you go through the what, where is the property? Where are the assets? How are they titled? Who are the beneficiaries? Someone really needs to know that. And if parents don't want to share that readily today with you, if they at least have it in a place that you know where to access it if something happens to them. So you want them to have like a list or an inventory, not only of their assets, but where they have that information. So we've got the what, we've got the who. Have those conversations. Who do you expect to take care of you? Where are you living? Where is the property? Where is your stuff? That'll be one of the where's. And the when is just about encouraging people to do their planning now before it's too late. So the how, when you have all of this kind of inventoried, the who, the what, the where, the when, have it all inventoried. The when being too, Mark, if your parents, maybe they're all in really good health. If you have that conversation and you say, hey, Dad, if something happens to you, are you expecting that we're going to take you in our homes? Because some parents will say, yes, my kids are going to take me. And other parents will say, no, I don't want to be a burden to my children. Okay, that's two different conversations then. Because if I'm going to take my parent in, I need to make sure I have the financial means to take care of my parent, or they have the financial means to help me take care of them. If they're going to go into a home, that is like huge financial commitment. Are they going to be able to handle that? So the how, then you start, after you have all of your conversations and you have all of these, you know, loose ends tied up, the how then is, okay, Dad, do you have a financial advisor now? Do you have an attorney now? Are they the ones who are going to be in a position to help us the best work through these issues? You want to make sure that you're working with people who understand the estate ramifications of different things you do. Sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, put everything joint or transfer everything to your kids. Guess what, Mark? That's not good planning necessarily. In a lot of cases, it's not good planning. So,
and who would tell you that it's not good planning, the lawyer or the financial planner?
Well, I like when they work together. I like when they work together because quite often the attorney might have good recommendations, but they will defer to the family to carry out the action of that, like either how the accounts are titled or how the beneficiary designations are done. Sometimes attorneys will help with that, and sometimes they'll know the family will take care of it. So usually it's a nice blend of having a financial advisor and an estate attorney working together to make sure you're looking at it from all different angles.
Are there any attorney financial planner teams out there, or do you just pick one of one and one of the other and hope they kind of...
Yeah, I think that you'd probably want to go to one or the other and ask, are you used to working with someone, and see what kind of information you get. And you can do some search on your own as well. You know, do some...
Can I ask one more quick one?
Sure.
In terms of, like, the list of documents that you need, obviously every state is going to be different, but is there a... Just so I have an understanding of, like, the target of what we're trying to get. We need a will, we need a power of attorney, health directive. Like, how do I know which documents I need? Obviously, the lawyer will know, but just...
The lawyer will know. I have seen, Mark, where people have gone to an attorney and come away with a will and not the rest of it. And it kind of surprises me because most attorneys, estate attorneys in particular, do the whole package. But typically, you want your will, your power of attorney, your living will, and your health directives. And those are, you know, those have kind of been updated in recent years in with some, you know, Pennsylvania language. So you do want those updated. Now, the other document that someone might need that they might not have or think about might be a trust. And there might be a trust involved. For example, let's say Dad has some nice assets, Mark, and let's say you're in a rocky marriage and you're not sure where it's going. You maybe want to work things out, but you don't know. Well, maybe you don't want to inherit the assets from Dad. And maybe Dad is nervous about that. So Dad could actually work with the attorney to draft a trust document whereby your assets might go into trust for X period of time with certain rights and of distribution. Lots of management provisions can be put in a document that will protect assets from going to, a disgruntled spouse or, you know, if someone's divorced, having a spouse get it all, you know, and right, leaving the family. Or maybe a kid who might have drug problems, you know, you hope they get better, but you don't know if they're going to get better. So a trust document may be required or applicable, and it could be a separate trust document, or it might be a trust under the will. It doesn't necessarily have to be a separate document. So an attorney would help you go through all of those. But again, when you're going through the who, what, where, when, that'll give the framework for the how.
Okay.
I hope that helps. Oh, one last thing too. If there are any assets that are outside of this state, like if you're a Pennsylvania resident, then sometimes you want to also have a trust for that and maybe put that property in trust to avoid, it's called like ancillary probate. Sometimes it makes the administration of that property a little bit easier if it's trust in a trust than if it's, you know, outright, because sometimes you have to probate in another state. So that's why we need to know the where when you're going through your what.
And like this trust, would that be suggested by the attorney or by the planner, or it could be either
probably
or?
The attorney. Yeah, probably either or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because obviously there's a million different legal instruments for retirement stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, I don't know what the benefit of one is versus another, and
right. Which, and, right. And you got to know what actually passes through those documents versus what's passing via a beneficiary designation. Because if you have a retirement, if Dad has a retirement account and he names you as the beneficiary, it doesn't matter what documents he has. It's following the beneficiary designation.
Okay.
So an attorney will help explain that as well. Okay.
Thanks
for calling in, Mark. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. We had another caller off air. We had Sherry call in from Center Valley, and she said, your opinion on having three adult children all being the executors. Sherry, it depends on how well they get along, and it can work. It's easier usually if there's like one or two. Sometimes your documents can say, I name three executors, but one can serve. I think typically an attorney probably isn't going to recommend that. You might name one, and then if that one can't serve or fails to serve, it would be the next one. And if that one can't serve or fails to serve, it could be the next one. What I see happen sometimes with three adult children, Sherry, is sometimes one adult child might take an executor commission, a big executor commission, and the others don't. Being an executor is tons of work, and it could well be worth being paid to do that. Some families, though, don't take the executor commission, and then it feels like more equal. But it could be a lot of work for one. You want to make sure you kind of think that through. So I think it depends on the children. I think it depends on the estate and what they're going to be administering, because the executor only administers those assets that are in your name alone. Okay, thanks for the call, Sherry. I wish I could give you more information on that, but I'm running out of time. I love the calls tonight. Thank you so much. I love when people call, so thank you. I didn't get to quite finish everything of my who, what, where, when, and how, but we got to cover quite a bit of it with our last call. Mark, thank you, so I appreciate that. I want to let you know that next Wednesday night's program will have guests from PP&L to discuss the company's community involvement in philanthropy and how to manage your electric usage and other topics. My guest will be Don Bernhard, PP&L's Director of Community Affairs, and Joe Meslow, Manager of Energy Efficiency and Conservation for PPL Electric Utilities. And we're going to discuss that range of topics, summer energy conservation, electric safety. I was on their website today because it was so hot out, and I thought, what's going on at PPL? And I loved all the information on the website, and I thought, I'm going to give them a call and see if they can come on, because there's lots of energy-saving tips that can save us money, which is always good on your financial choices. I want to thank the listeners again. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.